It is it's hard to come to class when we are on Christmas vacation. But I will tell you, when I was teaching at the college, I was probably the only teacher on the day before vacation. I had my whole class.
我在大学教课的时候，在我很得意的告诉你们说，我在圣诞节前那一天，我是唯一的一个老师，班上的学生坐得满满的，没有一个人走的。
The other teachers were nice.
别的老师都很好了。
They would say, "It's almost vacation. I'm going to let you go early."
别的老师都说啊，马上就要过节了，所以我们早点放学吧。
I would say, "It's almost vacation. This is my last chance to teach you."
但是我说什么呢？我说马上就要过节了，所以这是我最后一个机会，在节前再给你们上一满课，所以大家都坐下，不要走。
So, it's almost vacation. This is my last chance.
所以马上要过节了，也是我们节前的最后一节课。
We are looking at Ecclesiastes 12.
我们现在是在看《传道书》的第十二章。
And I want to try to get through this today.
今天我们想把这个第十二章给学了。
I put at the heading of this a picture that I like very much.
这个幻灯片的照片是我非常喜欢的。
It's from a series of photographs that an artist did at an art museum.
这是在一个艺术博物馆，一个艺术家他准备的一系列的照片之中的两张。
In which he has old men looking in a mirror. There's about 12 of them.
他大概有一系列十二张照片，每张照片都是一个老人在对着镜子看，在里面看到了什么呢
？And each one of them looks in the mirror and they see themselves 50 years ago.
每个老人看到镜子里的这个镜中的这个人是他五十年前这个老人的形象，年轻时候的样子。
The battery on this says it is dead, so I cannot point.
这个 battery 他手上没电池了，所以。
But the soldier down here in the right corner.
我们看到就右边这张照片，老人在镜子里看到是年轻时候他的样子，他是士兵，是穿着士兵服的战士的衣服。
As an old man looks in the mirror,
一个老人家在看着镜中他年轻时候的样子。
And he sees himself as a young, strong soldier.
他看到的是一个年轻的强壮的一个士兵。
Yesterday, or Friday, was the 90th birthday of a lady who used to be in my church choir.
昨天呢是我们我以前教会里头一个合唱团的一个老太太的九十岁的生日。
She's now in a nursing home.
她现在是在一个就是老人的那个休养中心，在那儿住了。
And so yesterday I took one of my students with me and went to visit her.
所以昨天我就跟我的一个学生一起去老人院去看她。
And on the way, as I was telling him who we were going to visit, I told him a little bit about her.Past growing up in Poland under communism.
所以在路上我就跟着我的这个年轻的学生讲，这个老人家我们要去拜访的老人家过去是什么样子的。他是生在波兰，然后在波兰的社会主义的这个制度下长大。
And as we were talking and then meeting her and leaving, I began to talk to him about some of the other people that I had known when I was working in this church as a choir director.
所以我们跟老人见面之后，我们就一起聊天。我就开始跟这个学生讲起来，当年我在这个教会的时候，我是在指挥诗班的指挥，所以我讲起来我们诗班合唱团里的一些成员的情况。
A lady who seemed to be no one.
一个老太太看起来谁都不会注意她，毫不起眼的一个。
Who I found out had grown up in East Germany.
后来我才发现他是在东德长大的。
Had met Joseph Stalin.
Joseph Stalin? 他曾经见过斯大林。
And had been the translator for the prime minister, the president of Germany at one point.
他在某一段时间曾经是德国总理的翻译。
I was playing one day for a funeral.
我也去过几个葬礼。
And there was a man who had come every Sunday to church and he would sit way back in the back. He never said a word.
有一个老人家就是每次都在教会的角落里坐着，每个星期天都来，但是他从来一句话都不说。
I would say hi and he would say hi and that was it.
我也就是跟他打个招呼说嗨，他也跟我打个招呼嗨，这就是我们中间从来也没有交谈。
But at his funeral,
但是在他的葬礼上
the vice president, a vice president from the Xerox company came to the funeral, flew here just for the funeral.
当时的这个是惠普 Xerox 很有名的一家大公司的一个副总裁居然特别的远道而来，专门就来为了参加这个葬礼。
And stood and read a eulogy.
然后他起来就致了一段悼词。
In which I learned that this man was the head engineer on the team that developed the first color copier.
我才从这个悼词之中，我才知道这个老人家默默无闻的老人家，原来曾经是这个施乐公司就是第一架彩色打印机的设计的主要的工程师之一。
Those things remind me of Ecclesiastes 12.
这些事情就让我想起来这个传道书的第十二章。
You see, we come to the end of Ecclesiastes and we read this.
我们来到就是传道书最后一章第十二章，读到这些。
Remember your Creator in the days of your youth.
你趁着年幼衰败的日子尚未来到。
Before the evil days come.
衰败的日子尚未来到。
The years draw nigh of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them.
就是你所说我毫无喜乐的那些年日未曾临近之先，当纪念造你的主。
And then he describes this old age.
然后这个传道书就开始描述这个老人老了以后的年月是什么样子呢？
Now none of you seniors say amen as I read this.
我读的时候我们中间的老人家不用说阿们。
But all of us, this is our future.
但是对我们年轻一点人来讲，这就是我们的未来。
The days when the keepers of the house tremble.
他说看守房屋的发颤。
The strong men, the knees are bent, the grinders, the teeth cease because they are few.
有力的屈身，推磨的稀少，就止息。
The eyes, those who look through the windows are dimmed.
从窗户往外看的都昏暗，就是眼睛也不好了，看不清楚了。
He goes on, once rises up, you wake up at the sound of a bird.
然后街上只要鸟一叫你就醒来了，你睡不着吗？
Verse 5, you're afraid of heights.
然后你也害怕高，开始恐高了。
All of this is describing old age.
他这些其实都是在描述人老了以后的感受。
Now, if you've been here, if this is your first Sunday here, I apologize. This is a very bad Sunday to start.
如果这是你第一次来教会，我很对不起你。这一节课听起来可能让你觉得很。
You're gonna leave, and someone's gonna say, "So what happened at church?"
你今天回家的时候，有人问你今天在教会里有什么事儿啊
？Some bald-headed man said, "My teeth are gonna fall out."
他说一个秃头跟我们讲，我以后牙齿要掉光了。
And I won't be able to sleep at night.
然后我晚上也睡不着了。
I knew that without going to church.
我不用来教会，我也知道这些啊。
But if you've been here, I want you to see how this fits into Ecclesiastes.
但如果大家听过几次这个传道书的课，我就希望你知道这第十二章是怎么样，在整本书里是什么作用。
Because the writer of Ecclesiastes has been trying to teach us that nothing in this world will bring ultimate satisfaction.
因为这个传道书的作者一直想要我们知道，就是我们在这个世界上所遇到的、见到的、经历的一切都不能给我们带来最终的满足。
And over and over he has said, look at your wealth, it's vanity, it's going to disappear.
他一次又一次地跟我们讲，你就看看你所拥有的、你周围的，所有的都是虚空，都是会消失的。
And even if you die rich, your children may waste it all.
他说即使你死的时候你也是家财万贯，可是你的孩子说不定就把你的钱全花光。
It's vanity.
所以根本也是虚空
毫无意义。He says, look at your wisdom, your education, your knowledge.
你也看看你的智慧、你的知识、你所拥有的这些才华。
Sometime everyone's going to forget that book you wrote.
有一段时间你可能把你曾经写过的书都忘光了。
It'll be in a library somewhere, but no one will remember your dissertation that you're looking forward to for Christmas.
你的书也许在图书馆的哪个架子上放着，但不会有人记得，包括你的论文以后也不会有人读的。
I'm sorry, that wasn't in my notes.
对不起，这可不是我准备要说的，这是给那个小月讲的，因为现在忙着写他的论文呢。
But he says all those things that are important to us eventually they become nothing.
他说对我们来讲最重要的这些事情，再过一段时间以后，也许一点都没有。
And here's where I think chapter 12 comes in.
我想这个第十二章来是什么目的呢？
Because you might come to old age,
因为你也许到了年老的时候
and you might say, "No, this isn't right."
你也许会说，哈，这写的不对啊。
My money's given me a very happy life.
我有钱，所以我日子过得很舒心啊。
Maybe money doesn't buy happiness.
也许钱买不来快乐。
But rich is better than poor.
但是有钱总比没钱好啊。
My children seem pretty wise. I think they're going to do well with my money.
他说我的孩子们看起来还是算是有智慧吧，所以我想他们拿了我的钱也会好好的用。
You might say it doesn't feel like vanity.
所以你会说，也许这也不是虚空，毫无意义啊。
My education gave me a good job. That's not vanity.
我的教育让我得了很好的工作，这也不是虚空啊。
You might come through life and say, no, chapters 1 and 2 of Ecclesiastes, they didn't apply to me.
也许你经历了人生以后，你再看到这个传道书第一章、第二章，你说这跟我所经历的不一样啊。
He says, okay, that's fine.
这也很好啊。
But remember this.
但是记得这个。
If you live long enough, you're going to end up in chapter 12.
但是你记得，你如果你的年日够长久，你够长寿，你一定会到了十二章的这个景况。
A friend sent me an email this morning. This isn't in my notes either.
今天早上一个朋友给我发了一封电邮。
I don't know why he sent it to me.
我也不知道他为什么会发给我。
He said, here is how you find out if you're old.
他说你怎么样发现你老了呢？
Fall down in front of a bunch of people.
你在一大堆人面前崩摔了一跤。
If they laugh, you're young.
如果他们笑话你，你还年轻着呢。
If they all come running and calling 911, you're old.
如果他们所有的人都涌过来打电话打911，你已经是老了。
Before the end of class, I will be falling to see what happens.
今天晚上，今天这节课结束之前，我会摔一跤，我看你们大家怎么反应。We laugh, we will laugh.
Please laugh. I would like to get one more good year.
请大家笑吧，我还希望我还年轻着呢。
But he says,
但是他说
we're all going to end up here.
我们最后的结局都是这个十二章。
We're all going to end up old.
我们最后都会变老的。
And that's part of life.
这也是生命的一部分。
To me, this beginning of Ecclesiastes 12 is the culmination of everything he has said up to this point.
在我看来，这个十二章就是他传道书整本书里讲到最后的一个高潮。
You cannot escape it.
你没法躲避的。
But the amazing thing is,
但是奇妙的是
every one of us is constantly surprised by this fact.
我们每个人都会经常的会觉得惊奇。
We meet someone after 10 years and they look older and we can't believe how they've changed.
我们十年以后又见到一个十年前的熟人，然后他变了，他不一样了，我们还觉得啊，怎么回事？
We shouldn't be surprised.
我们没有什么好惊奇的。
We live in time.
因为我们在时间里面生活。
Can you imagine a fish that every day was surprised that it was in water?
你可以想象吗？一条鱼要是鱼是生活在水里的，如果它每天都觉得很惊奇，我怎么在水里呢
？What's all this water around me？
这鱼说：“哟，我周围怎么都是水啊？”这就是生活呀。
But we are always surprised. I can't believe how fast 2019 went.
但是我们常常会说：“哎呀，我简直没法相信时间飞逝这么快，这2019年就这么过去了。
”C.S. Lewis tried to explain it this way.
鲁易斯是这么说的。
The fish would be surprised by water only if it were made to live on land.
他说一条鱼在水里生活，他只会觉得，哎呦，我怎么在水里啊？如果是他被造的时候是在地上生活，他才会这么惊奇。
And we are surprised by time because we were made to live for eternity.
我们为什么会觉得时光飞逝而觉得每天都觉得奇怪，是因为我们被造，是因为要得有永久的生命的。
We're supposed to be surprised.
我们的确是应该对时光飞逝感到惊
奇。Because this is how we were made to be.
因为神造我们不是这样，就是这样短暂的一生过去。
And so the writer of Ecclesiastes is showing us that the aging and the passing of time is part of this vanity under the sun.
所以这个传道书的作者就写到十二章里面人年老以后见到的情形，他是告诉我们就说这个 I forgot about what that's part of 这也是虚空。
Life under the sun.
这也是在日光之下的生活，你变老，这其实也是虚空，毫无意义。
Shakespeare wrote a speech in which he describes this.
莎士比亚曾经在一段演讲之中，他也描述这个情形。
I know that poetry does not translate well, so I'm not going to read the whole poem.
因为莎士比亚写的是一首诗，诗歌是很难翻译的。
But you've probably heard the speech. All the world's a stage, all the men and women, players.
他说其实大家都听过他这段话，他说这个世界就是个大舞台，每个人都是里面的演员。
And he goes through and he describes what he calls the seven acts, the seven ages of man.
然后莎士比亚就写分把人生分为七个阶段，他就描述每一个阶段人是什么样的。
The infant crying and puking in his mother's arms.
我们这小宝宝刚生下来在那哭啊，然后在妈妈怀里头吐奶啊。
The schoolboy going unwillingly to school.
然后该上学了，小孩子很不情愿地拖着脚就到学校去。
The lover singing a ballad to his mistress.
然后这个年轻的恋人就对他的恋人唱出一首恋歌。
The strong soldier.
然后就是成为一个很强壮的士兵。
The lawyer with his round belly and nice clothes.
然后这个长大了又成了个律师，然后口舌如簧，然后他穿着那个很有尊严的这个大袍子。
And then he describes what he says the last scene of all.
然后他就描述到人生的最后一幕。
This ends this strange history.
The strange history?
The last stage that ends the strange.
他说这最后一幕是结束了这个人生的这七个阶段。
Is second childish.
就老人老了就变成了第二段的小孩的婴儿时期了。No battery. 他就写到说人老了就好像就变回小孩的样式了。他说最后人生都是这样结束的。没牙了。眼睛也看不见了。然后嘴里也尝不出味道。什么都没有了。
That Shakespeare says is where we are heading.
他说，莎士比亚就说，这就是我们人生的尽头。
He agrees with Ecclesiastes.
他跟传道书说的是一样。
So you say, you called us in here to tell us we're getting old?
所以大家就说，你今天叫我们来上这课，就告诉我们说，我们每个人都会变老吗？
I hope they're not paying you very much, because we already knew that.
他说：“我希望人家为这堂课不给你付什么钱，因为我们都知道嘛，我们都会变老。”
Let me get to the point.
但是我们现在就要来讲到它的重点。
Chapters 1 through 12.
从第一章到第十二章。
Have all been building questions.
一直是在问问题。
And I told you when we first started this, Ecclesiastes does not do what we're used to hearing a teacher do.
我以前就讲过，这传道书并不是我们。过去所读的书啊，或者老师跟我们讲的那样的做法。
We're used to question one, the answer.
我们习惯性的就是提出一个问题，然后他就给我们一个答案。
Question two, the answer.
然后第二个问题，然后又有答案。
Someone raises their hand and says, "I don't understand," and the teacher explains.
然后有学生举起手来说，老师我不明白，然后老师就跟他解释一下。
The writer of Ecclesiastes doesn't teach that way.
但传道书的作者可不是这么样教导的。
The way he teaches is this.
他教导的是什么呢？
Question one.
提出第一个问题。
Yeah, you need to think about that.
你们得想一想哦。
What's the answer?
答案是什么呢？
You'll have to find it.
你得自己去找。
Question two.
然后第二个问题丢出来。
You need to think about that.
想想这个问题。
What's the answer?
答案是什么？
Yeah, you need to look for it.
你自己去找。
Someone raises their hand and says, "I don't understand."
然后有人举手说我不明白。
And he says, "Yeah, you better really think about that."
你是不明白，但是你要好好去想。
And he keeps doing that for 12 chapters.
所以这十二章其实一直都是这样，提个问题让你想，然后再。
He is trying to create in us a hunger for the answer.
他其实是在我们中间一直在建立一种让我们对这个答案有一种渴慕。
He's teaching the way life works.
他的这个教导实际上就像是生命人生的这个过程一样的。
Colleague of mine was teaching a course at a university in Indiana.
我有一个同事曾经在印第安纳大学来当老师。
And as an experiment, he decided to teach like Ecclesiastes.
有一次他想做个试验，他就按照传道书的方式来教学。
He gave out the syllabus.
他就把大学教学提纲发给学生。
The syllabus had one paragraph.
这个提纲上有一段话。
It was a class on leadership.
这堂课是关于领袖，关于这个领袖这个。
And the paragraph said, by the end of this class.
他这段话说，在这堂课的最后。
You must write a paper.
你必须要写一篇文章。
Explaining, and he gave the problem that he wanted them to answer.
然后要回答我提出的这些问题。
Hand goes up.
然后立刻就有学生举手。
Yes.
嗯哼，怎么回事？
Professor Drury, how long does our paper need to be?
然后学生就问，这个论文要写多长呢？
I don't know.
我也不知道。
How many sources do you want?
你想要这个我们引用多少多少论文啊文献啊
I don't know.
我也不知道。
He didn't give him any guidelines.
他没有给学生任何的这个指南指导。
He said it was the only time he ever did this.
他说他就试验了这么一次。
Because all of the students were angry.
因为学所有的学生都很生气。
They wanted guidelines.
学生都想要一个一个教学指南。
This many pages, this many words, this many sources, right? You all been to school, you know how that works.
我们都上过学，我们都知道，我们想要知道说写一篇文章，我们应该说写大概多少页啊，然后要查多少文献啊，最后出来是什么样的结论呢？
But the truth is,
但实际上
life doesn't work that way, does it?
生活不是这样的，生活不是总有答案。
You have a huge problem in your life.
你在生活之中面对一个巨大的问题。
No one says, okay, you need to sit down and write 1,200 words to solve that.
没有人跟你讲，你需要坐下来写一篇1,200字的文章，把这个问题解决掉。
Right?
是不是这样？
You need to spend 3 weeks on this problem. No, it might take 3 weeks and it might take 3 years.
也没有人跟你讲，你三个星期之内你就把这个问题解决了。不会的，你也许三个星期，也许三年，你问题还没解决。
Life is full of that kind of mystery.
生活就是这样，总是满是奥秘的。
And so that's how Ecclesiastes builds the problem.
所以这个传道书也是这样，把问题一层一层的给叠加起来。
So we come now to the end of chapter 12.
然后我们来现在读到了第十二章的末尾。
If you have your Bible, look at verse 9.
咱们看看
Ecclesiastes 12, verse 9.
第十二章第九节。
Here is where, at the beginning, I told you, I don't think the theme of Ecclesiastes is vanity.
所以我在开始这个主日学的时候就讲传道书并不是它的主题并不是虚空。为什么？我们就是看到这一节。
Because he doesn't end with vanity.
因为最终它结局它并不是说一切都是虚空。
Instead he says this.
而他说的是什么呢？第十二章第九节。
Being wise...The preacher taught the people knowledge, weighing, studying, arranging proverbs. Verse 9.
第十二章九节，再者，传道者应有智慧，仍将知识教训众人。
He looked for words of delight and wrote words of truth.
又默想，又考察，又陈说许多真言。
He says in verse 12, yes, realize of many books there is no end and much study is weariness to the flesh. All the students say amen on that verse.
第十二章他说我儿还有一层你当受劝诫著书多没有穷尽读书多身体疲倦我们做过学生的人都理解。
Our returning college students, have you memorized this verse?
我们这些回来的这些大学生们你们记不记得这句
This is your life verse for the next few years.
下面几年 你就是 你这就是 你需要每常常记住的这一个圣经经节。
Much study is a weariness to the flesh.
他说读书多身体疲倦。
But then he says,
然后他又说
here is the conclusion of the whole matter.
这是这个结论整本书的这个结论。
And here's what I want to make sure you understand because I think this verse is very often misunderstood.
我想要大家特别注意一下因为这个经节常常是被误解的。
He says, this is what the answer to everything I've written is.
他说这是我对一切问题的答案。
All those questions about the emptiness of life.
我一直说到生活之中一切的事情都是无意义的都是虚空的。
Here is the answer. Here's the conclusion.
但是结论答案在这儿。
Fear God and keep his commandments.
敬畏神谨守他的诫命。
For this is the whole duty of man.
这是人所当尽的本分。
Now, he says, this is the answer.
他说这就是答案。
Fear God.
敬畏神。
Keep his commands.
谨守他的诫命。
Many people read that and they say, okay, this is what Ecclesiastes says.
很多人读了这一节就说，哦，这就是传道书说的。
Everything is vanity.
一切都是虚空。
All of the good things in life are going to come to nothing.
生活之中一切的享受，一切的好的东西，最后都会消失无有。
So here's the best we can hope for.
就是我们所能想象的最，能够希望得到的最好的就是。
Fear God.
敬畏神。
Do what he tells us.
做神要我们做的事。
That's our duty.
这就是我们的本分。
Now, how many of you does that sound like a very positive end to the book?
你们好多人，你们中间有多少人觉得这个对于整本书来说，这是一个很有正面意义的一个结论呢？
No? Okay, a couple. Okay, I have 12 minutes to try to show you that I think this is very positive.
我有12分钟跟大家讲解为什么我觉得这个结论，这个还是挺乐观的。
First of all, the word fear.
首先就是敬畏，敬畏神这个敬畏。
When we think of fear,
我们想到敬畏的时候，
it's almost always negative.
我们想到这个敬畏这个词 fear 也可以翻译成害怕，所以常常是负面的意义。
Right?
觉得害怕。
We're afraid of pain.
我们害怕有疼痛。
We're afraid of snakes.
我们害怕蛇。
We're afraid of the stock market crashing. Fear is negative.
我们害怕股市会垮掉。这个，所以我们提到害怕、敬畏这个词的时候，常常是负面的意义。
But in the Old Testament,
但是在这个旧约之中
，Well, actually, in the New Testament too.
实际上，在新约也是一样。
To fear God was a positive term.
敬畏神实际上是个正面的词。
It was a term that meant to know who God is.
它意味着是要知道神是谁
，to know who I am，
也知道我是谁
，and then to understand my proper relationship with Him，
然后来理解我跟神之间是应该什么样的关系
，and that was positive。
这是所以这个敬畏这个词是有正面意义的。
Let me give you one example to show this。
比如说，我来举个例子。
In Genesis 2，
在创世纪第二章
，Adam and Eve fear God。
亚当和夏娃敬畏神
That means
是意味着
They know he's in charge
他们知道神是掌控的那一位
He created them He put them here And he sets the rules
他神造了这个亚当和夏娃把他们放在乐园里
They know who they are
他们也知道他们自己的地位
They know their range of authority
他们知道他们必须要尊重神的主权
Adam names the animals. That means he has authority over that area of the world.
亚当给一切的动植物都取名字，所以他对这些被造的这些动物啊、植物，他是有权利的、有权威的。
They fear God.
但是他们敬畏神。
And it says that in the cool of the day, they walk with him.
他们说是在夜晚，就是傍晚清凉的时候，天起凉风的时候，他们跟神一起在乐园里走。
They're not afraid of him the way we think of fear, in other words.
他们并不害怕神。我们说到这个敬畏，常常有害怕的成分，但他们并不害怕神。
They're at peace with him. They have a beautiful, warm relationship.
他们跟神一起行走散步，所以他们并不害怕，他们跟神之间有美好的关系。
That is how the Bible describes the fear of God.
这就是这圣经所描述的敬畏神的这个词的意思。
It's positive.
是一个正面的词。
But in Genesis 3,
但是在创世纪第三章
the serpent comes and says, you don't need to be under God's authority.
这个蛇来了，他就跟人说，你们不需要在神的权威之下呀。
Eat this fruit and you'll be like God. You'll be equal.
你们吃了这个知善恶树上的果子，你们就跟神平起平坐了。
And they decide,We don't want to be in our proper place. We want to be in God's place.
他们就决定，我们不想在我们这个合适的位置，就在神的地位之下。我们想要跟神平起平坐。
And they eat the fruit.
然后他们就吃了这个善恶树的果子。
And now God comes.
然后神来了。
To walk with them.
在想要跟他们一起散步。
And it says.
圣经说。
They hid themselves.
他们就躲起来了。
Now that rightful fear has become.Shame.
他们原来跟神之间，他对神的这种敬畏，现在变成了一种他们自己觉得羞耻、害怕。
Fear now is not relationship; it's guilt and shame.
现在他们这种害怕、敬畏，就不是对神的这种尊重，而是变成他们自己的觉得自我的一种羞耻感。
You understand what has happened?
你明白发生了什么
？The fear of God has become twisted in our understanding now.
他们在对神的这个敬畏现在就被扭曲了，就变成了一种害怕。
He is now an enemy.
他现在神成了我们的敌人了。
Who doesn't really love us?
他不爱我们。
But what Ecclesiastes wants us to understand is.
但是传道书想让我们明白。
To live in right relationship with Him.
我们要跟神要建立一个正确的关系。
Is a positive fear.
是一种正面的一种敬畏。
A relationship of respect.
是一种在尊重的关系，尊重神。
Got me that far? Then the second word, if I have that relationship, I will keep His commandments.
然后第二句他说谨守他的诫命。如果我跟神有这样正确的关系，我会遵守神的诫命。
I once had someone say to me.
曾经有人跟我说
I want to be God's friend.
我想要成为神的朋友。
But I don't want him telling me what to do. I don't want him to tell me what to do.
但是我不想要神告诉我什么事儿，你这个事儿应该这样做，那事儿那样做。
I said, I have really bad news for you.
我跟他讲，哦，那就我有坏消息给你。
Jesus said,
耶稣说
，If you love me,
如果你爱我
，If you want to be my friend,
如果你想成为我的朋友
，You will keep my commandments.
你会遵守我的诫命。
It goes back to number one, fearing God. Relationship is based on obedience.
因为这个跟神之间的关系是建立在一个正确的这个叫敬畏神的这个基础上。
And so he says, here is the answer to the vanity of life.
所以传道者说，这就是生命一切虚空的这个结论，答案就是
fear God.
敬畏神。
That is relationship.
这是跟神的关系。
Keep his commandments.
谨守他的诫命。
And then he sums it up this way.
然后他又把它总结起来说
For this is the whole duty of man.
他说这是人所当尽的本分。
Now here is why I think we misunderstand the conclusion of Ecclesiastes.
我想要跟大家说为什么我们常常误解这句话。
How many of you think of fear as a positive term?
我们多少人认为这个敬畏是一个正面的词？
Most of us don't.
很多人我们就觉得这个词不是个正面的词。
How many of us get really excited when someone says, I've got a new rule for you to follow?
如果有人跟我讲，跟你讲，你有个新的规则，你必须要遵守，你们会觉得很兴奋吗？
No? Okay.
多半也不会。
So, fear, we think is negative.
所以我们觉得敬畏这个词是个负面的词。
Commandments,
然后遵守诫命
negative,
也是觉得是个负面的词。
And then he says, for this is the whole duty of man.
然后他就第三句他说，这是人所当尽的本分。
And when your boss comes to you and says, I've decided to add some more duties to your job.
如果你老板到你桌子跟前来说，我打算给你的工作内容再加一些内容。
How many of you say, oh, goody, goody, pick me?
你很高兴地说，哎呀，就选我，选我，会这样吗？
No.
多半不会。
Duty is also a term that is negative to us, right?
对我们来讲，这个职责本分就是 duty 这个职责这个词，常常也是负面的。
So I have to do something I don't like to do very much.
所以我要做一个我不太想要做、不太喜欢做的事。
I try not to refer back to the Hebrew of verses because I don't want to give you the idea the only way you can understand the Bible is by reading Hebrew. That's not true.
我不想回到希伯来的文的原文来跟大家分析，因为并不是告诉你们说哦，要想理解圣经，你必须要懂。
But if you have an English Bible, you'll see this.
但是如果你读 Bible, 你读圣经，你会知道看到。
In most English Bibles, it has it translated, "This is the whole duty of man."
在很多的英文版本都是这样翻译的，人所当尽的本分，就是我们的职责、职分。
But the word "duty" is in italics.
但是这个职分这个词是斜体的。
And when in an English Bible you see a word in italics, it means it was not in Hebrew, but it's to help us understand what that sentence means.
如果在英文版本中一个词如果是斜体的，那说明这个词在原来的希伯来文中间并没有，它只是后来为了增加理解加进去的一个词。
The Hebrew of Ecclesiastes 12 says this.
在希伯来文的原文是这样说的。
Fear God.
敬畏神。
Keep his commandments.
谨守他的诫命。
For this is the whole of man.
因为这才是人的全部。
This is all of man.
他说人的全部就是要敬畏神。
And when the English translators, and I think it's also true in Chinese, were translating this,
对，在英文版本翻译或者甚至中文版本也是一样。
They wanted to help us understand the whole what of man.
他想要我们理解这个人的全部，这个 whole 这个全部的意思是什么。
And back when the early English translations were done,
所以早期的这个翻译圣经的人就把
400 years ago, the term duty was a positive term, not a negative term.
在400年前，这个职责、职分这个词也许是正面的意义，所以他就把这个词加进去。
Duty meant how you're put together.
这个职责、职分就是说你怎么样把事情做好。
To do your duty meant to do what you were made to do.
尽你的职分、尽你的本分，意思就是要去做你被造所应该做的事。
It was positive.
所以是有正面的意义的一个词。
Now in the 400 years since that word has changed its connotations for us.
但是这400年来职分这个词已经变了很多，意义已经改变了。
And now we think of it negative.
但是今天我们看到职责本分这个词，我们觉得有点
Duty is an obligation, a burden.
好像是一个义务，一个负担。
And so many people read this, and this is how their mind is thinking.
所以很多人读到这一句的时候，他们就开始想
Be afraid of God.
要害怕神。
Do what he tells you.
你做神要你做的事情。
Because this is what we have to do.
这就是我
们, this is our obligation.
这是我们的义务,我们不得不做的事。
Then the whole book falls apart at the end.
然后这整本书到了最后这一句实际上就完全破碎掉了。
Life under the sun, the first part of the book was emptiness, vanity, smoke.
这个书的前面一部分就讲日光之下一切都是虚空都是捕风就像一阵烟一下一吹就没有了。
And the good news at the end of the book is,
这个最后这个书的末尾给我们好消息。
Be afraid of God.
要害怕神。
Do what he tells you.
要听神说什么就是什么。
Because this is your obligation.
因为你不得不这么做。
What a depressing book.
这本书实在让人太没劲儿，太丧气了。
But that's not what he says.
但是传道者不是这么说的。
He says this.
他的意思是。
Be in right relationship with God.
他说要跟神建立一个正确的关系。
Obey the commandments that he gave us to teach us the right way to live.
谨守他的诫命，按照正确的方式来生活。
For this is the whole of man.
这才是真正的生命。
The puzzle that has a missing piece.
我们看到这个拼图缺了一片。
This is what brings it all together.
这一片就是这一句话，他把所有这个书里头这些碎碎的这些碎片都给结合起来。
And then life is not vanity. Life makes sense.
这样的话，这生命是并不是没有意义的，生命是有意义的。
As I was trying to think this week how to explain this.
我这一星期我在想怎么去解释这个。
Think of an apple tree.
想想看一个苹果树。
What is the duty of an apple tree?
一个苹果树的职责是什么？结苹果。Have apple?
This should not be hard. Yes, to grow apples.
就是为了结苹果吗？
Y'all are smart people. You shouldn't struggle with this question.
大家都很聪明，这个是个简单的问题，是不是？
The apple tree does not say, oh, this is my duty. I have to grow apples.
这苹果树不会很丧气地说哎呀我不得不结苹果这是我的职分呢。
No apple tree does that.
苹果树不会这么做。
The apple tree flourishes.
这个苹果树。
The apple tree is all it was made to be when it grows apples.
因为苹果树种这个苹果树我们都是为了要收苹果所以 apple 树这个苹果树它就是为了结苹果而存在。
You and I.Flourish.
你和我也是一样，我们生命能够成长。
We are all that we were made to be.
因为我们是按照神造我们的目的在成长。
When we fear God and keep His commandments.
当我们敬畏神，谨守他的诫命的时
候。Life then makes sense.
生命就有意义了。
In the second century.
在第二世纪的时候。
Irenaeus said, "The glory of God is a human being fully alive."
当时一个当年的一个教父他是这样说他说神的荣耀就是在一个人能够完完全全地活出你的生命
Another words,
这就是神的荣耀
When we fit what God made us to be
当我们能够进入神造我们的这个角色神造我们的目的
fully alive,
我们能够丰丰满满地活出我们的生命
We are the glory of God
我们就是神的荣耀
That is what Psalm 8 means when he says that GodMade us at the center.
这就是在诗篇第八篇里，神把我们造的放在这个宇宙中
心。You have made him only a little lower than the angels.
你让我们只比天使微小一点。
You have crowned him with glory and honor.
你把用荣耀成为他的冠冕。
And what that means is this.
这个意思是什么？
When we are living, when you as an individual,
当我们作为个体
are living in right relationship with God.
当我们跟神之间有正确的关系
doesn't just mean you've been baptized. It doesn't mean just that you've been baptized.
哦，并不是意味着你只是受了洗。
But when you are walking with him,
但是你与神同行的时候
you are living the way he made you to live.
你在按照他造你的目的来生活。
You're in relationship with him, you're keeping his commandments.
你跟神有正确的关系，你谨守他的诫命。
Then from your perspective,
那么从你的眼光来看
the puzzle is put together.
这个拼图是完整了。
Life is full.
生命是丰满的。
And from God's perspective,
从神的眼光来看
it says he has crowned us with glory.
神用他的荣耀成为我们的冠冕。
And that means he looks at you.
那就意味着神看着你。
And he says, look,
他说
I made her, I made him.
我造了他，我造了他。
That's what I want it to look like.
这就是我想要他们成为的样式。
I'm a piano teacher.
我是个钢琴老师。
And sometimes,
Nobody here, don't worry. I can see Philip back here saying, is he going to talk about me?
Philip 曾经跟我学过钢琴啊。
But yes, sometimes I'll have someone who is learning a piece of music.
有时候我可能帮一些孩子一起来练习一首曲子。
And I've had another student who played it and played it beautifully.
我也另外有个学生弹过这个曲子，而且弹得非常好。
And I'll say, would say, hey, come here.
我就会说，来来。
Play this.
弹一下。
And then I would say to the younger, newer student.
我就会对这个新的这个比较年轻的学生说。
That's how it should sound.
你听听，这个曲子就应该这么弹。
You see that?
你看到吗？
Ecclesiastes says,
传道书说，
God wants us to live in the way that he can say, that's how I made people to live.
神就是希望我们能够按着这样的方式生活，神有一天可以指着我们说，这就是我想要他。
Now if you've read the rest of Ecclesiastes, you know that doesn't mean everything will be easy.
我们读了传道书，我们会知道神这个这句话并不意味着说什么事都很容易。
Because we still live under the sun.
因为我们仍旧在日光之下生活。
If you've read Job, you know it doesn't mean everything will be easy.
如果我们读了约伯记，我们知道生活不是那么容易的。
But it does mean this.
但的确它意味着
that we will know, ah, I am whole, I am complete.
我们会知道我已经完整了，我已经过了一个丰充实的生活。
Even in difficult times,
即使是在困难的时候，
we will have a peace. I am what God made me to be.
我们是心里也会有平安，我会知道我就是神造我的样子。
And God will point to us and say,
神会指着我们说。
This is who I made.
这就是我造的。
Sometime we will look in here in the New Testament at the Beatitude.
新约里的登山宝训。
Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are this, blessed, blessed.
耶稣说那些清心的人有福了，这些贫穷的人有福了。
And that word blessed,
这个有福了这个意思，
is a word that means to be approved.
意思就是被神同意，神觉得可以通过了。
To have God say,
会听到神说
，I approve of him.
我愿意他这样做。
I approve of her.
我允许他这么做。
She is living. She is doing. Her attitudes are the attitudes I created her.
他做的
to have
就是我造他要他做的事情。
And Ecclesiastes at the end of the book says,
传道书的最后一章他这么说。
Under the sun.
在日光之下
，Life as we see it，
在日光之下的生活，就是用我们的眼光所看到的生活
，has some disappointments，
让我们觉得失望。
Things don't work the way we expect them to，
很多事情不像我们想象的那样发生。
We go to school, we get a good education，
我们有很好的教育
，and we don't find a job that really fulfills us，
但是我们也许找不到我们心仪的工作。
We pour our time into our children.
我们拼命的要培养孩子，让他们成才。
And they go off to some school like University of Chicago or somewhere, you know, just wasting their life.
也许他们去了某一个你不太喜欢的学校，你会觉得失望。
That also wasn't in my notes.
这也不是我的准备的提纲里的。
But you understand.
但是你明白吗？
The things we hold on to are temporary.
我们紧紧抓住的事情常常只是暂时的。
But at the end of the book, he says,
但是在最后这一章他是这样说，
lived as the gift of God.
你把生命当作神给你的礼物来生活。
Lived in relationship with God.
跟神建立一个关系来生活。
In obedience to God.
而且要遵守他的诫命。
Life is complete.
生命就完整了。
This is what we were put here to be.
我们被造，我们在这个世上。
And so Ecclesiastes becomes a very optimistic book.
所以在这个最后一章，我们看到了这个传道书成为一本非常乐观的书。
Because
因为
this is something we can all do.
因为这是我们都能做到的事。
Chapters 1 and 2, we can't all be rich and smart.
第一章、第二章讲的那些生活，我们不是所有的人都很富有。
We're not going to all have success in our business.
都有智慧，我们也不会每个人在自己做的事情上都那么成功。
But chapter 12, this is for all of us.
但是第十二章是对我们所有人说的。
This is what brings it all together.
这一章是所有这章节的总结。
We have one more week in 2019.
我们在还有一周，我们就到了新年了。
Next week, I want to kind of wrap up
what Ecclesiastes, now that we've gone through the book, I want to wrap up some of the big themes of Ecclesiastes.
所以在下一个星期，星期天，我会把这个整个十二章传道书所有的内容要做一个总结。
But what I want you to see here at the end,
但是在这个书的这本书的末尾，我向你看到的是
It's not a book of pessimism.
这不是一个悲观的一本书。
It's not a book of frustration and hopelessness.
也不是一本充满挫折感，充满了这个没有盼望的这种绝望感的书。
It is certainly not a book that says, here's the best you can hope for.
这也不是，绝对不是一本书说啊，你最后你最终你最能做到的也就是这一点。
Be afraid of God.
害怕神。
Do what he tells you.
就神让你做什么就做什么。
Because this is your whole obligation.
因为你不得不这么做，这是你的义务。
No.
不是这样，绝对不是这样。
He says,Live in right relationship with God.
他说的是要跟神建立正确的关系来生活。
Keep those commandments that he gave us because they are for our good.
谨守他的诫命，因为这些诫命是为了我们的好处而设立。
And life will fit together.
生命就会完整了。
It will make sense.
生命就有意义。
Because this is how we were created to live.
因为神造我们就是这样的目的。
Let's pray.
我们一起祷告。
Dear God, thank you that you love us enough.
亲爱的主，你这样的爱我们，以至于
that you provide us a path, a guide for how to live.
你给了我们这样一本指南，让我们知道怎么样去生活。
You don't leave us on our own.
你也不是让我们自己去摸索。
But you say,
你说
this is my path for you.
这是我给你定的道路。
Give us joy in walking that path.
你让我们在这个行走这条道路的时候有喜乐。
Give us joy in living the way you made us to live.
而且让我们在按你给我们设定的方式去生活的时候，我们有喜乐。
I pray in Jesus' name.
我们感谢奉主耶稣基督的名，阿门。